Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew 13 for the message this morning. I'm going to be speaking tonight from the first part of this chapter, and so I hope you'll be back in church tonight. I was thinking during Sunday school hour that both these messages today come from the 13th chapter of Matthew. And if I had my druthers, you know what druthers are, don't you? All right, if I had my druthers as to which message you heard, I'd just assume you hear tonight's as this morning. But don't anybody get up and leave and then say, well, I'll just come back tonight. No, stay here. You're already here. But I do hope you'll come back tonight for the message on the first part of this chapter. Now, this morning, I want to begin reading in verse 36. Verse 36, please. And you follow along in your Bible. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you. You may feel free to use that. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. Now, I want you to notice that. I want you to understand that. Write that, underline that, or whatever. The field is the world. In this parable, now you know what a parable is. A parable is an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. So everything in the parable means something. And the Lord is explaining, and he said, the one that sows the seed is the Son of Man. So he was saying, he was claiming that he was the sower, and the seed that, of course, that he was sowing was the gospel, the Word of God. Now, the field, verse 38, is the world. Everybody got that now? The field is, say it, the world. Very good. All three of you. Very good. Now, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, and the tares are the children of the wicked one. So the people that hear the gospel and get saved, they believe the gospel, and fruit is produced, they're the saved people. The ones that don't receive the word of God, Jesus says, they are the children of the wicked one. So you have the saved people who are the sons of God, and the unsaved people who are the sons of the devil. Verse 39, the enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now let me ask you, how many of you have ears today? Raise your hand. Okay, very good. All of you. That's what I thought. So what's the admonition here? The admonition is, if you got ears, listen. God's about to tell you something. Listen to what he's saying. Verse 44. Here's my text verse. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. Verse 38, the field is what? The world, okay? So the kingdom of heaven in this next parable is like a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy, therefore, goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, the treasure in the field. The treasure in the field. Pray with me, please. Our Father, we ask now your blessings upon the Word of God as it's preached. Father, what a joy to be able to open the Bible and declare the things of God. And I ask that you will bless this morning and help me as I speak. I certainly need your help today. And Lord, what a privilege to stand in this pulpit, in this wonderful church, and to be able to preach the Word of God. And I pray that you will just empower the message. Lord, may it sink into our hearts today. May we not just hear with our ears, but, Lord, with our spiritual ears, not just our physical ears, our spiritual ears, that we may apply the Word of God to our hearts. So, Father, touch our lives, we pray, with your Word. In Jesus' name we ask these things, and amen. If you'll notice in verse 36, I read these verses to you for a reason. I read them so you would understand basically what the Lord is saying here and see the picture. This parable was uttered to the disciples when they were alone with the Lord Jesus Christ. The crowd was not there. It was just the disciples, and Christ was teaching his disciples about the kingdom of God between his advents. Now, you know what an advent is. The word advent means a coming. And we know that the Lord Jesus promised us two comings. There was his first coming. That happened 2,000 years ago when he was with his disciples. When he came born of a virgin in Bethlehem, lived 33 years upon this earth, and then died on the cross and was buried and then resurrected, and then 40 days later ascended to his Father from the Mount of Olives. You remember, though, that he often spoke of his return. Yes, his first coming, that was vital, that was important. But he promised a second coming. Jesus is coming again. Now, when the Lord ascended up to heaven, two angels came to the disciples and verified this truth. They said to the disciples, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus," not another one, "this same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as you have seen him go." So we have the Lord here giving this parable to explain to his disciples what was going to happen in between the advents, in between the comings, from the first coming to the second coming. Now, we know now, because of the epistles of Paul and James and John and Peter, we now know that this age in which we live, which was between the advents, is what we call the church age, or the age of grace, as it has been defined. We are now living in the age of grace. And the Lord gives these parables to the disciples to show them what they were supposed to be doing and what was going to happen with the kingdom of God in between the two advents. In other words, these parables have to deal or have to do with what the church is supposed to do. We have some common illustrations here as Jesus deals with some very practical pictures, very familiar pictures. The field, of course, is the world. And as I'm going to show you tonight, the sower in the first part of this chapter went out into the field to sow the seed. That's what the church is supposed to do. It is the church's job to go out and to tell the world, tell lost people how they can get saved and how they can escape hell and spend eternity in heaven. Our job is to sow the seed of the Word of God. So the sower takes the seed to the world. But now, let's look specifically, now that you got all the details and you understand the pictures here, let's look specifically at verse 44. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Now, let me see if we can explain this. You listen very carefully here in the first part. The second part's going to be real easy to follow. But I got to lay the foundation and I got to teach you the principle that is here. It is commonly held that the treasure that the Lord was speaking of here was the nation Israel. The nation of Israel, his chosen people. In the Old Testament, Israel was called God's treasured possession. In Exodus 19:5 and Deuteronomy 14:2 and Psalm 135 verse 4. God's peculiar treasure out of their land because of their unbelief are now scattered across the world. When the Lord looked at Israel, he saw that they were scattered when he was here 2,000 years ago, and he saw that they would continue to be scattered and would not as Jews live in the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel now, since 1948, has been in existence. But when the Lord looked at the church age, when he saw the time in between the two advents, he saw that the treasure would be scattered around the world. The treasure would be in the field. In order for the man in the parable to regain the treasure of which he was deprived, it was necessary for him to purchase the field where the treasure was hidden. Now remember, the field is what? The world. So the idea is the Lord Jesus here is telling us that he did just exactly that by his death on the cross. Now let me give you a verse for that. 1 John 2, verse 2. The Bible says, "And he, Christ, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world." So what we find in this parable is the Lord Jesus coming to this earth, and he says, I see the whole world, I see the whole world, and there's a treasure there. We just got to go dig it up. We just got to go get it. Now, do you understand that? Everybody see the point? Nod your head. You see the point? Okay. Now, let me pull a truth out of the point. Let me pull something out of here to help you. Look at the verse and tell me, where is the treasure? The treasure is where? Hidden in the field. All right, very good. And the field is the world. Now notice, the treasure is hidden in the field. You know what that means? That means, dear friends, that you got to go look for it. Nod your head. You with me on that? You've got to go look for it. It's hidden in the field. And so you've got to go look for it. Now, this guy finds a treasure in the field, and he says, wow, look at this. Look at this treasure. If this treasure is here, there must surely be some more. So what he says is, I'm going to go and I'm going to sell everything I've got. I'm going to get rid of everything I got before somebody else comes along and finds the treasure and buys the field and finds the treasure. I'm going to go sell everything I have so that I can buy this field. So he does it. And when he buys the field, he goes back to his field and he starts walking around, digging and looking for treasure. And all of a sudden, he finds some things that he did not know was there. Does that make sense to you? He buys the field, and so now it's his, but he's looking for the treasure, but all of a sudden, he finds out some things that are there that he did not stop to consider. He finds out that he has bought a field, but he has also bought some other things. He got some weeds when he bought the field, right? He got some snakes when he bought the field. I hate snakes, don't you? They're cursed, folks. I mean, I don't care. Somebody will say, man, you ever watch that crocodile guy on TV? That guy's nuts. I mean, that guy's absolutely nuts. He takes these snakes and poisonous snakes. They're going to bite him one of these days, and we're going to be reading his obituary in the newspaper. And it's amazing. He said, ain't he a beauty? No, it's a cursed snake, for Pete's sake. Kill that thing. That's the way I look at it. That's just the way I don't like snakes. We got this little garter snake every year that comes and hangs out between my porch and our heat pump. He's just a little fella. And he is quick as he can be. No matter what I come at him with, he always manages to get away. I've tried to get him with a shovel. I've tried to get him with a hoe. I've tried to run over him with the lawnmower. And it's just amazing that thing absolutely can escape no matter what I try to do to him. So the guy buys the field, just like you bought your house and you found out one day a little spider walking across the table. You bought the house. You didn't buy that spider. The spider came with the house. He bought the field, but he went in there one day, was digging treasure out, and all of a sudden he starts itching. He's got poison ivy in that field. Every place he looks, he's got problems in the field. Yes, the treasure's there, but he's got all kinds of other stuff too. He's standing there digging out the treasure one day, and a big old skunk walks by. He's digging out the treasure one day, and a lizard runs in front of him. There's another thing I can't stand. Lizards. I don't like lizards. I don't like lizards. I don't like geckos. I don't like any of them. Anything that looks slimy and crawls, I don't like it. But he bought the field, and now he's got all these other things that went with it. But wait a minute. Why did he buy the field? He bought the field because it had a treasure in it. Nod your heads. You with me on that? He bought the field because it had a treasure. He wanted the treasure that was in the field. Now, I only got one point. I got five little things underneath that one point, but I've only got one point, and here it is. I want to show you the picture that is represented here. Follow me carefully now. Let's suppose that a man finds a treasure in a field. He then goes and sells everything he has, buys that field, and starts digging for his treasure. And while he is digging for the treasure, all of a sudden he sees a snake and he's startled. All of a sudden, while he's digging, he starts scratching and realizes he's got poison ivy. All of a sudden, while he's digging out the treasure, something just infiltrates his nostrils and he realizes that a skunk has just walked past him and sprayed him. I mean, he's standing there digging in the field and he looks over and he sees as he's wiping the sweat off of his brow that somebody has come along and thrown a bag of garbage on his field and it's scattered all over the place. I mean, he sees all kinds of things that he did not expect to see. Question is, what does he do? What does he do? Well, folks, here is what most of us do. In disgust, we forsake the treasure because we see something negative. We forsake the treasure because we see the negative. Now, are you with me? This is what we do all the time, folks. We find the treasure, we buy the field, and we are intent on spending our lives developing the treasure, but we see the rocks and the weeds. We get stung by a yellow jacket, or some nettle gets down around our ankle and bites us, and then the next thing you know is you just want to hang the whole thing up. You understand that principle? Now listen, we're not willing to take what we do not want to get what we want. I mean, don't forget, the treasure is in the field. Folks, it's not in a museum. The treasure is not in a bank vault. The treasure is in a field. And you go out into the field and you start digging the treasure, and I guarantee you there are going to be some things you're going to have to endure. You're going to have to endure a bee sting. You're going to have to endure getting a snake run across your path. You're going to have to endure seeing some garbage laid around here and there. You're going to stumble over some trash that someone threw away. But we aren't willing to accept the negative to get the treasure, and what we do is we just say, "Ooh, well, I give up, I quit," and we abandon the treasure simply because there's a little bit of negative in our field. Nod your head. You understand that? Everybody got it? All right. Now, let me illustrate the point. And we'll give you five little things real quick. Five little things that illustrate this principle and illustrate this point. Let's start with a friend. We find a friend. What a treasure is a good friend. Oh, my soul. Everybody needs friends, don't you think? I mean, somebody said one time, no man is an island. In other words, God made us social creatures. And everybody needs a friend. I thank God for the friends that I have. I thank God. Through the years, in practically every church that I've ever been in, I have had some really good, close friends. Thank God for friends. We get a good friend, and we are enraptured by our friend. Everything is just wonderful with our friend. Our friend appears faultless. Our friend seems to be the greatest thing that has ever come along in our life. And then, all of a sudden, we see a few weeds in his life. We see some negatives. And so we turn away from the treasure. And by the way, folks, all friends have weeds. I don't care who you are, all friends have weeds. All friends have something negative or some negative thing about their lives. All people have negative things which are there, and you hang around them long enough and you're going to see it. I don't care who you are. It just doesn't matter. You get close to anybody and you're going to see some things in their field. Yes, there's treasure there, but this is the way we do things. And oh, by the way, folks, you better hope that no one gets too close to you. They just might see that you also have a field too. You see, they just might see that you have some rats and some snakes and a few rusty old soda cans that somebody threw away. You should be careful about being so hard on someone else. When you find a lizard scurrying across the field of someone else, you better be careful, dear friend, because I want you to know you got some stuff in your field as well. Be careful. Illustration number two. We find a church. We find a church. Who can define, in this day and age in which we live, who can define what a great treasure a good church is? I tell you, I think everybody ought to go to church. And I'll just take it a step further. I think everybody ought to go to church the open door. I'm a little prejudiced in that matter. But that's just what I believe. Thank God for a good church. Do you remember when you first came to church here? Do you remember when you first came and you saw the cars and you saw the people and you heard the choir and you saw the enthusiasm that folks had and the teachers had and you saw the fellowship and the choir and the orchestra and the invitation and the baptisms? Man, it was exciting. Do you remember that? I hope you do. I hope you'll never get over that. You said, wow, this is what I've been looking for. Man alive, this is what I've been looking. I've been going to church here and church there. I went to this one over here and slept the whole way through it. Let me tell you something, folks. If you can sleep while I'm preaching, you need the rest. Yeah, you go ahead and sleep. You need to. If you can sleep while I'm up here ranting and raving, go ahead and sleep. You're not going to bother me a bit. Not a bit. You came here and you said, wow, this is exactly what we've been looking for. But folks, let me tell you something. I want you to understand this truth. We have a field here. I mean, you came here and you saw everything. You saw the smiles and you heard the choir. And if you come on a Sunday night, which I would encourage you to do, you heard the orchestra and the choir singing together. I'm telling you, man, you walked out of here, you got in your car and started home and you said, honey, wasn't that wonderful? Man, I enjoyed that church. But I want you to know, dear friend, be careful because there is a field here. There is a field here. I got some news for you. We are human beings just like every other church in the world, and there is no treasure without the field. There's a field here. So what happened? What happens? You see the treasure, a good church, a busy altar, a great soul winning program, a great youth program, a wonderful music program, a great Christian school for your children. I mean, what a treasure you have found. But after a little while you are enjoying the treasure, all of a sudden the little mouse scurried across your feet. I say it again, folks. I say it again. There is a treasure in the church of the open door. There is a treasure around here, but there is also a field here. You tell me where you're going to go around this area to find people that are as dedicated and consecrated to doing what the Lord Jesus said in this Bible about going out and telling the world how to get saved. You show me a church anywhere within hundreds of miles of this place. You show me a church anywhere that has as much concern about souls as what this place does. I mean, every Sunday morning, there are people up here at this bus barn sticking old keys in old rattle-trap buses and starting those buses up so they can take them all over Carroll County and get little boys and girls and bring them to Sunday school so they can hear the gospel. Show me another church that does that. You can go up on the hill right now, and there's 75 to 100 handicapped people sitting up there in the gymnasium, and they're clapping their hands, and they're singing, and they got tears in their eyes, and they're rejoicing that somebody loved them enough to bring them to church. And they're thrilled with the Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, folks, there's a treasure around here. But now, wait a minute. There's also a field around here. Anytime you got a treasure, remember, the treasure was hidden in the field. That means that once you get in here, you had better be careful because it's not going to be very long, trust me, because there's nothing in this place but sinners saved by grace. And I want you to know that the people that set up on this platform, most of them are doing other ministries right now, but the people that set up on this platform who call themselves the pastors of the Church of the Open Door, and that sorry old sinner you got that stands behind this pulpit every Sunday and preaches, they're just humans saved by grace. And they got a field in their lives. There's a field there. So what happens? What happens? One disagreement. That's all it takes. Just one disagreement. One thing to happen. And that's it. You abandon looking for the treasure because you have one little negative thing that happens in your pathway. I mean, you were here and you were faithful and you started tithing and you were enjoying the church, and then all of a sudden one little thing happened, and that was it, boy. I mean, that just set you over the edge, and you said, oh, that preacher we got, I'm telling you the truth. You got out in the car. Did you hear what he said? Listen, you can miss 41 minutes of a sermon because of one little minute halfway in the middle. You can miss 40 some minutes because of one little 30-second act of stupidity on my part. One little weed that falls across your path. And you can go out, I mean, you'll miss the invitation. You'll miss the decisions. You'll miss the choir. You'll miss the special. You'll miss all that because of one little weed, one little mouse that scurried across your path while I was preaching the sermon. And you'll get out in the car and you'll say, your wife will say, wasn't that a good service? And you'll say, oh, I didn't like it at all. Oh, you're kidding. What was wrong with that? Did you hear what he said about the Pope? Did you hear what he said about this or about that? I mean, you missed the whole thing because of one little act of humanity. Folks, if you don't think it's difficult, I'll be glad to take this little thing off my tie, give it to you, and let you get up here and talk for 45 minutes and just see how you do. I am a human like you. You slap me, I hurt. You cut me, I bleed. I mean, listen, I've got feelings and emotions. I'm a sinner saved by grace just like you. I'm not always going to say everything that is pleasing to your heart. But I do want you to know this. Most of the fits that I throw, I plan to throw them. I do want you to understand that. But you know what? The man in the parable had more gumption than most of us. He said, I found me a treasure, and there is bound to be more treasure here. I am willing to put up with some weeds, and I'm willing to put up with a snake here or there, and I'm willing to put up with a little bit of trash that's been strewn around. He wasn't willing to throw it all away just because the field happened to be where the treasure was. Man, I wish you'd feel that way about your church. One little thing. One little thing. You know where most of the problems are? They're with the school. They are. I can't believe you disciplined my child. Oh, well, we'll make the rules for everybody except for your child. Come on. And you know, it may be that somewhere along the way, little Adolf got a raw deal. I don't know. I mean, don't forget, we're humans. It could well be that we did mess up. But the question is, are you going to throw the whole thing away with all of its blessing and all of its power and all of its anointing and all of its blessing? Are you going to throw the whole thing away because of one little old snake that crawled across your path? All right. Amen! If y'all not going to say it, I will. Just sit there like knots on logs. Do you see what I'm saying, folks? Good night, what's wrong with us? Number three, you found a girl. Guys, And don't worry, girls, I'm going to give equal treatment. Number four, that's for you. Right now, guys, you found a girl. And oh, what a treasure. She was the most beautiful thing you'd ever seen in your life. I mean, it was like looking at the sunset when you looked into her eyes. When she spoke to you, your knees wobbled. Oh, my soul. You eventually got married. And it wasn't long after you got married until you found out that she had every square inch full of weeds. There wasn't any grass growing anywhere. She was a field of weeds. And you noticed a pile of trash laying over here, and you noticed an old possum rooting over here, and you saw some poison ivy growing there. Guys, let me tell you something. There is not a woman in the world that doesn't have a field. Not a one. Now, you know, you may see her and you may think, my soul, look at her. She's perfect. No, she's not. What in the world were you thinking? No, she's not perfect. She's got a field. But hey, somewhere in that field is a treasure. Now, you may have to look hard to find it, bless your heart. But somewhere in that field is a treasure. Hey, it was the treasure that attracted you to her to begin with. It was the treasure that caught your eye. My wonderful wife, bless her heart. She was in the early service this morning, so I can say this now. My wife is a wonderful woman. I'm telling you, she is. She's a wonderful woman. But I got to tell you something about her. My wife has a field. You say, yeah, you're looking. No. No, my wife has a field, and I'm serious now. I'm serious. My wife never puts a lid on anything. Never. My wife never turns out a light. She never pushes in a drawer. She never shuts a cupboard door. She never puts the lid on anything. Ketchup bottle, lids up. Put that thing back in the refrigerator with the lid up. Why? Does anybody understand that? On our honeymoon, I said, come here. She walked over to the bathroom and I picked up the tube of toothpaste and had the cap in my hand. I said, now look, God made this thing so that you screw it on the top, lay it back down again. When you go to use it, it's not all gunked up on the end. Take your toothbrush, take that gunked up toothpaste tube, go to squirt it. It's all covered in goo, and you squeeze it right back on your tie. It goes. That has happened to me a number of times. Never puts a lid on anything. I told her a couple of years ago, I said, honey, when you die, if you die for me, and if not, I'm going to leave written instructions to the funeral home to have the funeral home director leave your casket open about that far before we put you in the ground. In honor and memory of the fact that you have never put a lid on anything in your life. Now, wait a minute. Am I going to throw away the treasure because of that little mouse that scurries across my pathway every now and then? Not on your life. Not on your life. For I've seen that woman sacrifice and give. I've seen her learn sign language, and now she interprets for the deaf. Learned that all on her own. I've seen that woman sit down with a sinner and take that Bible and show that sinner how to be saved with so much compassion in her heart, weeping while she does it. Am I going to throw away that treasure because of that little mouse that scurries across my path? No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. But here's what some of us do. Some of you folks are having trouble in your marriage right now because you got married and you found out that your spouse has a field. But guys, they all have fields. So you'll fume and fuss and fight and get bitter and grow apart and eventually divorce. And then you're going to go out and find you another one and you're going to find out she's got a field too. And you're going to find out that the field that she has is worse than the one you just got rid of. Don't throw away the treasure because of what's in the field. Number four, ladies, you found a man. And oh, what a treasure he was. He was a dreamboat. But then he got so heavy, he sunk the boat. Preaching now, ain't it, Gil? You found out after a little while that he was stubborn. I mean, he was as hard-headed. You found out that he was lazy. Wouldn't do anything. Just lay on that couch all day long. Are you going to cut the grass? Nah, I'll get to it. And you got to go out and buy a goat to come in and take care of the yard. Lazy thing. I mean, you found out that all he wanted to do was just nag and fuss and gripe. Hey, he just fussed all the time. He has a field. He has some weeds. He's got, you found out that all of a sudden it's not what you thought it was. But ladies, wait a minute. There's a treasure in there somewhere. Now don't give up the treasure because you found out there was a field. Be careful. Teenagers, you look at your parents. Look at your parents. The treasure is there, but the field is there too. Mom and dad aren't perfect. Mom and dad are going to make some mistakes. But they have been blessed of God to have you as their children. I mean, they have been, God gave you to them. And what we need to realize is, you know, sometimes they get a little upset at you. Sometimes they lose their temper. Sometimes they get angry. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Before you go throwing the treasure out because the field's not perfect, just stop and realize something. Your mother gave birth to you. I mean, good night. She went to the hospital one day and entered into the jaws of death to bring you life. They call that labor. It's called labor for a reason. It's laborious. Folks, one of the most important things, look, listen, young people, one of the most important things for you to understand is that your parents, they got a field. They've got a field. Your dad works hours on end to buy you clothes and to get you things. They may not be perfect. They have a field. You may see a snake crawl across your path every now and then. You may see some weeds every now and then. But you can't give up on the treasure simply because of what's in the field. Now, what's the point? Let me tell you something, folks. Here it is. Now, just apply it wherever it needs applied. This is not one of them. .30-06, you know, single shot. This is scattergun. Open bore, 12 gauge. All right? So you just apply it wherever you need it applied. Here's the point. You ought to go to that person with whom you have fallen out. You ought to go to that person to whom you have found out there was a field with the treasure, and you ought to ask for forgiveness, and you ought to make things right with that person. You ought to go to that person that you've been criticizing. And you ought to apologize to that person because you found out there was some weeds in their field. You're missing the treasure because you're looking at the weeds. You ought to go to your wife The one that you've been doing nothing but pointing out her faults. And you should realize that there was a time when you saw a treasure in her. There was a time when you felt that she was the most precious thing on this planet. And by the way, she is still the woman you married. And there may be a whole lot more of her now than what there was when you married her, but she is still the woman that you married. You ought to go home to that husband with whom you have become disenchanted. Disenchanted. I'll get the right word in a minute. And you should say, honey, I married you for better or for worse. And lately it's been more worse than better. But I want you to know that I still love you and I want to quit looking at the weeds and the trash and I want to focus on the treasure that I fell in love with. Now let me just say this and I'll close. Let me tell you about one who has no field. There is one. It's not anybody in here. And it's not anybody up here. And it's not anybody standing right here. The one I'm talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ. For you see, there is one who has never had a mouse run across his life. There is one who has never had any weeds or poison ivy grow around his field. You'll never see any trash or old rusty cans or anything dead lying around. In fact, there is nothing there but a wonderful treasure. That one is the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I'm glad that salvation is not based upon me. I'm glad that salvation is not based on a church. It's not based on any man. No, all of us have a field. This church has a field. I have a field. You have a field. But there's one that does not have a field. And that's why He's the only one that can save our souls. I can point you to Him without fear that you'll ever be disappointed. Because you never will. I've been saved for 35 and years now. And I've never been disappointed any one time. And neither will you. I'm saying, folks, don't give up the treasure of a good soul-winning church that believes the Bible and preaches the truth. Don't give up on a good, godly friend because you found out they have a field. Don't become disenchanted with your husband or your wife when you find out they have a field. Don't become discouraged when you see that your pastors are humans and you see the field in their lives. This fellow gets to digging and he just keeps on digging and all of a sudden he starts collecting the treasure. Man, it's looking good. And then he gets bitten by a spider. Or then the yellow jackets come and sting him. But in this passage of Scripture, that old boy didn't stop digging. He just kept right on. He kept digging and he endured the things of the field. And suddenly, he hits a mother load of treasure. And it was worth all the problems that he had to endure in the field because of the wonderful treasure that he found. Folks, don't throw out the treasure because of the field. Bow your heads with me, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. No one looking around for just a minute. Father, speak to our hearts today. Help us to understand what we have heard and help us to apply it and use it for your honor and your glory in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask you this morning, how many of you will say, Pastor, I've got, God's dealing with me. I've sat here and listened to this and I realized that, man, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm throwing away the treasure. I'm giving away the treasure because of the junk that I see in the field. And I don't want to do that. I see now, I understand that my responsibility is my relationship with Christ and growing and becoming what God would have me be. But Pastor, pray for me this morning. God's dealing with my heart about this exact thought that you preached this morning. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand all over this room and let's pray and ask God to bless and help us here today. Hold your hands up. Amen. God bless you. Many, many hands. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Good. You may put your hands down. Now let me ask one more question. I pointed you to one where you'll never find a field. And that's the Lord Jesus. You see, folks, man can't save you. You can't save yourself. Church can't save you. Only Jesus can save you. And I wonder, with our heads bowed, how many of you here today will say, "Pastor, I've never been saved. If I died right now, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. I just don't have that assurance. But I know that God's dealing with my heart today. I know I need the Lord. So, Pastor, would you pray for me, please? Would you slip your hand up right now and let me pray and ask God to help you? Just lift your hand. I won't embarrass you, I promise. I won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you. Would you lift your hand? Is there anybody like that? Yes, son, God bless you. Anybody else? Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I know I need to be saved. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want you to pray for me, Pastor. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, now, Lord, you know our needs today, and I pray that you'll meet the needs of our hearts. Lord, I dare say in a crowd this size, there are folks that need to be saved. Lord, I pray you'll speak to their hearts. I pray for this one that raised their hand, said, "I'm not saved, and I want you to pray for me." Lord, I pray for this one and just ask that you will bless and work in that heart. And Lord, for the number of Christians that raised their hand who, Lord, you have spoken to their hearts today. They're throwing away the treasure. They're throwing away the treasure because they see the mess that's in the field. Lord, help us to get our eyes off the field and put our eyes on the treasure, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, help folks to see the need, the importance of getting involved in the local church, of joining the church and getting busy and serving. Lord, just help us to see the importance of that. And Lord, speak to hearts, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.